The governor is coming to Haines for the state fair, and some Haines residents object to local taxes on marijuana and tobacco. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Alaska Governor Bill Walker will be in Haines for the Southeast Alaska State Fair Saturday. Walker's staff say the governor and his family will participate in the parade through downtown Haines at noon. Walker will then give brief remarks at 1 p.m. at the main stage, right before a performance by the Juno Jumpers. The governor last visited Haines in fall of 2016 to talk with residents about the Juno Access Project. The fair continues through Sunday afternoon. Haines Assembly members are divided on so-called sin taxes on tobacco and marijuana. They heard some opposition to the proposal at a meeting Tuesday. Residents raised concerns that the taxes could hurt low-income people and a budding industry. Over the last few months, three Haines residents have applied for five pot business applications with the state. That prompted the assembly to think about how, if at all, the borough should regulate and tax marijuana. The group directed manager Deborah Schnabel to draw up an excise tax ordinance for both pot and tobacco products. But that idea didn't sit well with everyone.
It's a really high tax for a small percentage of our people.
That's Donnie Turner. He spoke against the tobacco tax, which, among other things, would levy a $2 fee on cigarette packs. Turner said this would unfairly affect low-income people.
You take somebody that's an elderly person that I know that smokes a pack a day, that's on a fixed income, that smoked for 55 years, is 70 years old, they're not going to quit. They're just going to, you know, eat less or turn their heat down or do something else.
Jason Adams spoke out on the other half of the ordinance, a marijuana excise tax. Adams is the manager of a prospective Haines pot cultivation and retail business called Glacier Bay Farms.
It could be harmful to the business. And if it pushes us down, which raises our prices to the consumer, because the consumer will pay the tax.
The state of Alaska already imposes a $50 per ounce tax on marijuana growers in the newly legalized industry. The Haines ordinance would add an additional $5. That fee would be charged to the cultivator when he or she sells product to a dispensary or other business. The assembly members had a range of opinions. Sean Mady was concerned about both the marijuana and tobacco taxes.
A tax on tobacco disproportionately affects the lower class.
Tom Morfitt was okay with the tobacco tax because its purpose is to discourage the use of cigarettes and other tobacco products. But he thought the borough should target alcohol instead of pot.
And I think it would tend to inhibit this industry.
Heather Lendy and Ron Jackson were in favor of the marijuana tax. Lendy said that only relying on sales tax revenue might not make sense because the Haines cultivators may ship their product to other towns. One potential cultivator already said that was her plan.
Our product very well may be the raw product that we are sending out, and we may be shipping it to places like Juneau or Anchorage or Seattle for that matter. And it seems as if a small excise tax on that would be wise.
Lendy and Jackson also pointed out that some towns have levied much higher excise taxes on marijuana. For example, Petersburg collects $25 per ounce. Here's Jackson.
Why are we going $5 an ounce and other cities are going $20 and $15 and so forth? So it just seems like kind of lowball.
The assembly didn't come to consensus on the issue. There is one more public hearing on the excise tax ordinance on August 8th, where community members will have another chance to weigh in. After a near-record chum harvest, commercial fishermen in the Lynn Canal might see some skinny weeks due to low sockeye numbers. That's according to fish and game biologist Mark Soggy. I spoke with Soggy this morning about the outlook for the gillnet fleet and upcoming subsistence openings. So let's start with the subsistence fishery. You said there are some changes in that area coming up.
Yeah, we have been restricting the subsistence fishery both on the Chilkat side and in the river because of concerns about Chilkat Chinook salmon, and those fish are mostly through the system by now. And so we're making the biggest changes in the river itself, which will open up on August 1st, 7 days a week instead of 4 days a week. And the area will change from what it has been from 19 mile to Wells Bridge to be from 4 mile to 1 mile above the Wells Bridge, 7 days a week.
And then the subsistence fishing in Chilkat Inlet was delayed an extra week and just opened on July 22nd, I believe it was. So what have you been hearing from subsistence fishermen about how they're doing in that area?
I've heard only a few reports, so we don't have any way of, like with the commercial fishing, we keep track of what's been caught. And so all I hear is rumor and some whatever people tell me. And it seems like there was some good fishing on the Chilkat side. It's spotty, I think, comes and goes, and same on the Chilkoot side.
So let's talk about the most recent gillnet commercial opening. How did that go?
The chum harvest was about 83,000 fish, which is quite a bit less than average for this time. And we caught a few Chinook down there, but those are mostly hatchery fish. We caught a lot of pink salmon, which is about 26,000 pink salmon, which is a little bit below average, but still a good harvest. We do a genetic study on the harvest of the sockeye and Lynn Canal, and we look to see what the composition is. Is it Chilkat fish, Chilkoot fish, or Chilkat mainstem fish? And last week, not last week, but the week before, we're always lagging 1 week. It was very strange results came back, or surprising results for me. It was about 60% Snedisham fish, which are fish that are bound for the Snedisham hatchery down in Juneau, and about 20% Taku fish, and extremely low numbers of fish bound for Chilkoot or Chilkat Inlet. So that's very strange.
How is that different from what you would have expected?
Well, in previous years, like last year, for instance, at this time you would get a big shot of usually of Chilkoot fish early, or maybe the early Chilkat Lake fish, but usually it would be all Chilkoot fish coming in this way, and we're just not seeing that in the fishery. The fact that there's so few Chilkoot fish in terms of percentage and so few Chilkat fish is very much a cause of concern.
So still concerns about the Chilkoot sockeye run?
Yeah, I am concerned about that. And for this opening this week, it did the same thing as last week and shut down the east side 1 day only in Bridget, and then pushed the people into the postage stamp, the fishermen into the postage stamp area to scrape up the last of the chum salmon down there and minimize a Chilkoot harvest.
What does that mean for the commercial fishermen in this area?
Well, it means some skinny weeks now, I think, because the Chilkat run is sort of in between the early run and the late run, and the Chilkoot run is not very strong at all, surprisingly, and the chums are really tapering off, and so I think it's like a little break for everyone a little bit, and we wait and see what the sockeye are going to do.
Hmm. Tell me about the next commercial gillnet opening.
It's 2 days in 15A, and that's only on the Chilkat side, and that's from Seduction Point South, and then a line that just opens up the west shore, which runs from Seduction to Talisani Island to Elder Rock to about 2 miles off at latitude of Point Sherman, and that takes all the pressure off the Chilkoot fish. I did not move the opening up into Glacier Point this week, which I think I probably could have done. But I'm not seeing enough indication in the fish wheels right now that there's a lot of sockeye coming through. Mm-hmm. Down 15C, Boat Harbor remains open for 7 days a week, and there's still fish coming in there. We're at about 1.5 million chum salmon harvested total. It's not a record, but it's a really good harvest for us. And then on the other side, 1 day south of Bridget and 1 day in what's called the postage stamp, which is a chum salmon fishing area primarily.
Conversations with Fish and Game's Mark Soggy will be a regular feature on KHNS through the season. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Have a great weekend.